Please do have a seat. And, thank you, Peter and Ali, for reading those readings for us. Let's ask God to be with us as we think about those readings together, as we want to respond to God's word to us. Gracious Father, as we thank you for your word, give us open ears, open hearts to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing today with our series around Moses. And we haven't always done it in chronological order. We've dodged about a bit, haven't we? What have we done? Do you remember what we've done? The burning bush, yeah, we've done that, haven't we? We've done the baby in the basket. So we're getting there. And today became what was just a kind of defining event for the people of Israel. The event that they look back to. It's just such a defining event. And today, still for Jews today, if you ask them what is the biggest event that affected and impacted the people of Israel, what is it? It has to be the Exodus, the escape from their being just kept captive in Egypt. So it's a great celebration. And of course you and I, we've just heard the story, and you probably are familiar with it. We know how the story ends, don't we? We know it ends well. They're released from the slavery that they were stuck in and are through to a new stage of life. So we know it. But if you were there at the time, you did not know, you do not know the outcome, what's going to be. Is it going to be good news or not? And I wonder whether you have ever been in a situation where there is no way out of a difficulty. There's no escape from where you find yourselves. And what do? Easy to fall into a place of utter despair. A place where there is no hope. What do? Where do you go to? And of course, for some, deeply, sadly, and such a difficult place, it seems as though for some, the only way out is suicide. There seemed to be no other option. It would surely be best simply to do away with myself, best for me, and for everybody else. Such a desperate place to be in. As I think many of you know, I'm involved with the work of Christians Against Poverty, CAP, and helping families or individuals find a way out of their debts. And it's quite a high proportion of those who come to CAP who have contemplated or have attempted suicide because they can find no other way. And of course, it is a great privilege to be able to find and provide a way, a hope that there is indeed a way forward. But here we are, the Egyptians versus the Israelites. And the people of Israel are saying, what can we do? Help! Panic! Complete panic. They find themselves between, as we say, a rock and a hard place. Behind them, the Egyptians, who it seemed were glad to get rid of them, go on your way, okay, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. They change their minds. Pharaoh decides, after all, no, we shouldn't have done this. Off we go, let's get them. So looking back, there is the army of the Pharaoh. And in front, what is there? The water, the sea. They find themselves in an impossible place. And they're panicking. And any sense of faith in God, what happens to that? Well, it sort of evaporates, doesn't it? So they're in this place between the sea and the army that's chasing them. And what do? Their response is to blame Moses. Moses, how come you brought us this far? Why? Surely it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. And here you are, you brought us here. We'd have been better to die in Egypt instead of get here and die. And we've got these two stories today, the Exodus story, and then also the account of Jesus in a boat. And this time it's being in a boat, facing a storm, and here are the experienced sailors, good fishermen, know what they're doing. There was only one person who was not an experienced sailor, that was Jesus himself. But the rest of them, the disciples, they knew that this storm was serious. It was a serious threat, and they knew the potential of what was going to happen. Death in the storm, the boat crashing, and so on. And what do we find? Again, we find no faith being demonstrated. It's as though faith had just gone out of the window for these disciples. As though it had just evaporated. Because they were at a place of panic. What was going to happen? Help! Jesus! Help us! And so Jesus responds and says, "Be still. Be still. Praise, and the storm ends." And what does Jesus say? He says to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" I wonder how Jesus, we don't know quite how he said that, but it seems as though a bit of exasperation. How come haven't you learnt a bit more? I mean, you've spent time with, we don't know exactly. It depends how you say it, doesn't it? Where is your faith? It's a bit of a searching question, isn't it? And it might be one we find ourselves being asked ourselves. Where is your faith? The good thing is that Jesus doesn't say, "Well, you've got no faith. You know, goodbye. I don't need you anymore." No, Jesus, as he shares this with his disciples, surely hopes that here is a learning experience. Something they can actually learn about, surely, that they can learn to trust in God, whatever was happening. And I guess that some of you will have experienced panic attacks of one sort or another. Panic. When we panic about something, whatever it might be, somehow the normal reactions and the normal thinking, those things are somehow suspended, and we can't do it because we're lost in panic. And fear takes hold. It can root you to the spot. Somehow unable to do the normal thing, to think or to act in a way that would be good. In fact, we might find we're not even able to lift our voices or hearts in a prayer. We can't do it. So we're scared. We kind of know, well, we're Christians, we ought to be able to offer a prayer, but there are times when we find we cannot because of our panic. But perhaps it can be for us too a learning experience. The offering of being able to pray, "Lord, if I panic, Would you help me to look up to you? Up and beyond the thing that's made me panic, and to trust that, as always, God, you'll be there with me. God, you'll open up a way, despite the panic. You will offer up a way for me to go, even though at the moment I struggle to see a way. So these two readings that we're focused on today, and I suggest, you know, they're worth going and reading through. There's more to Exodus, a bit more either side of the reading we had today, but have a look at them. But in both of them, we find that God is the Lord of the wind and the waves and the water. So for the people of Israel, they need not panic, because God is the Lord, even of the wind and the waves, of the Red Sea, the Lord of the water. And today we might say yes, of the climate crisis, or of all of the world's conflicts of today. And in the boat, that demonstration of Jesus, that demonstration that unbelievably, for those disciples, unbelievably, God is and Jesus is the Lord of the wind and the waves and the water. Today I've tried to slightly randomly really look at what happened to the people of Israel and what happened in the boat, and what might be the case for you and for me today. But perhaps two things to round off. First, looking at Moses, where he says, as the people are panicking and wondering what on earth to do, he says, "Stand firm, fear not, you will see God's deliverance." And there's something practical, isn't there, about what Moses has to say when we are in a place of panic. Stand, you know, stand firm. And sometimes that's a good thing to do. Feet firmly on the ground. Not panicking, but firm on the ground. Maybe as well to breathe deeply. Practical things to do if we panic. And trust. And look above whatever situation we're in. Look above it to God, who is the Lord of all. So there's something around that simple saying of Moses, stand firm, fear not, you'll see God's deliverance. I sometimes wonder, how was he actually feeling? How was Moses actually feeling? You know, that's what he said, but whether inside he was maybe experiencing a bit of panic himself, but was able to share with the people of Israel, let's trust in God. So there's a practical thing there. But along with that, secondly, well, there's action that's required. We stand and we wait, but here's the action. We're going to cross the Red Sea. Trust in God, and he's going to show us a way across. So it's a real faith moment to proceed across the Red Sea on dry land. So it's both a stand and wait and see, but it's also a come on, act, go for it, trust, which is what they were willing to do. There are all sorts of things that might be special and particular for you and for me as we think about the readings, really, as we think about our own lives. What about panic that can overcome us, and where we need to look up and trust in God? What about the times that perhaps we too need to say, yes, stand firm in the midst of trials, whatever they might be for us? And the times when we are invited to look up to God and to say, oh God, would you find me a way? Help me to trust you, whatever situation I'm in, and I will respond and move into it.